Luke chapter 8, and we'll skip down to verse 43 through 46. The Bible tells us, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" That's my title this morning. Who touched me? There's a lot of people around Jesus that morning, that afternoon, wherever, whatever time it was. A lot of people were physically touching him, but that's not what Jesus was asking. He wasn't asking who was just brushing up against me, who was out of obligation, out of their physical presence being there, touching him. Jesus recognized that there was something different in this woman's touch. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." I don't know who it was, but somebody in this vicinity touched me. I'm going to tell you right now that this woman with the issue of blood, she was so desperate for her answer that she bypassed the humanity of Christ Jesus and went right to the source. Her faith bypassed. Jesus didn't have a choice. "I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." It's gone. It's already happened. I didn't have time to consider whether or not I was going to do this work. Well, let's apply that to this church. We come to church and we're in the presence of God and we're brushing up against his physical body in this world, which is the church, Christ, the manifested body of Christ. In today's world, we're brushing up against one another. We feel God's presence in this place. And for some, I'm not coming to beat anybody's faith up. I want to do exactly the opposite. I want to help somebody this morning. But I've got to deliver what the Lord put on my heart. And I've got to do it in the way that he was compelling me just a few moments ago, and it may come across in some in a different type of way, but I assure you, my objective this morning is not to diminish your faith, to hinder your faith in any way. But I'm so tired of just coming to church and going home. I'm so tired of just being a part of this humdrum, this repeat situation. That's not what church is about. That's not what we come to church for. Amen. God has a purpose and a plan in this service, within these next few minutes, between now and the time that we lock those doors out front. I'm telling you, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. Help me. Hallelujah. Somebody hath touched me. Somebody stepped out of the comfort zone. Somebody got through the press. Somebody pushed off the throng. Somebody got outside, out from under the, I'm talking to you right now. They got out from under the pressure of what's ordinary. They got out from under the objectifying and the limiting. And they got a hold of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not against coming down into these pews and praying for folks, Brother Nelson. I appreciate your sensitivity. And I'm not at all diminishing his motivation to help us get to where we want to be. And those others that are doing the same. Amen. But let me tell you, amen, there ought to be such spontaneous moves of the Holy Ghost that it doesn't have anything to do with my hand on your forehead. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There comes a time when we get to the point, I don't care, amen, if anybody's looking at me sideways, I've got to touch Jesus. Hallelujah. When you got an issue, amen, you can be seated. Amen. When you got an issue of 12 years, amen, and time after time, amen, doctor after doctor, amen, physician after physician, expert after expert, amen, tries their ways and her ways and his ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you're going to get some kind of fed up. You're at some point, you're going to reach your limit. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this generation is getting to that point. They've had access to more information than they can consume. They've had access to more books and more sources than they can even comprehend, than they can even understand. And what they're looking for is something that is real, that goes beyond just tickling the intellectual mind. It's something they can, that is authentic, something they can take home, amen, and resonate with. I'm here to tell you, church, what they're looking for is a move of God like you and I have experienced so many times before. Whether they know it or not, the hole that they're looking to fill, you know this as well as I do. Amen. The emptiness, the void, amen, the God-shaped hole that they're trying to fill is what you and I have right here in this service today. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. But even while we know full well that the answer is what we have, we still can go home without the same issue, with the same issue, without our answer. Please, this is not me beating anybody over the head. I have the same challenges. Hallelujah. I want you to know there's a difference. When we come to church and we orient ourselves, and we get ourselves to that place where our fingertips are on his garments. We're getting a hold of him. Hallelujah. Many times, Jesus' ministry, we read where the Lord reaches down. And he touches lepers, blind folks, deaf folks, folks sick with the palsy, so folks that are sick with fevers. Time after time, the Bible shares with us instances where individuals come to Jesus, and if they don't ask him directly, he just does it. He just reaches down and touches them. And that is sufficient for them. They leave with the need met. They have a limited experience with Jesus, and I can't fault them for it because what they ask for is there. If you're deaf and the Lord heals you, what more is there in their mind? Maybe they don't know. Blind and you have an open eye, what more can you get? You and I know that there's more than just a physical healing. But those folks are just in a practical situation. They need an answer. They have a need. And let me tell you, that is not exclusive to folks outside of the church. People inside the church have needs, practical, real, tangible needs. Amen. Make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, said, I will, be thou clean. That's Matthew 8, 2 and 3. Matthew 8 and 14, Jesus heals Peter's mother and a mother-in-law who's sick of the fever by touching her. Matthew 17 and 7 says, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, will be, and be not afraid. Verse 8 says, when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Two blind, I've mentioned all of these. I don't want to get too bogged down here. But you know Jesus has the power to touch him. Touch you and touch anybody that has a need. But then there's another level to this. The first level I've already described, folks that just show up and they're brushing up against Jesus, they don't even know that they're touching him. They're just here. They're just where he's at. Second level is, Jesus, will you touch me? And the Bible goes through several instances where they literally, the Bible says, they beseech him to touch them. That's Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. I'm telling you that God is concerned about our needs. And if we beseech him, if we seek him, we were singing about it just a moment ago. I trust him. Why? Because I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he answered me. In those moments when I was in such a desperate situation, I began to seek after the Lord, and he heard me. And he had compassion on me, and he reached down and touched me. And there's another passage, another who was deaf. Mark chapter 7, verse 32 says, And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him, and he does. And then again, a blind man. Just every single miracle that he did in these other cases where they just are there and he touches them, he does the equivalent set of miracles where they beseech him. Amen. I'm not going to be much longer before you. I'm just going to lay this out, and then we're just going to turn this over to the Lord. Amen. But I want you to understand the level of involvement from those who are in need. The first is they're just there, and they're getting a blessing because Jesus' presence is around them and that they are there. They're hearing the good teaching, and they're learning from the Word of God. And then the others, they take a step further, and they're not willing to go all the way out, but they could say, you know, Lord, I have a need, and if they weren't willing to, they have a friend or two that's willing to make that petition on their behalf, and they reach the ears of Jesus, and Jesus again reaches down and touches them. And in each of these cases, we see that the Lord heals them, or he meets the immediate need. But there is something different about those who come, and they're not waiting to meet the right emotional criteria. They're not waiting to get to the right stage and the right feeling or the right moment to appeal to Jesus. But they come intentionally without any other distraction, without any other hindrance. They come right to Jesus. Even in the moments when there's opposition against them, they somehow get through all of the opposition, all of the oppression, all of the distractions. Because for them, there really is only one answer. I'm not even going to give Jesus an option. I'm just going to get a hold of him. I'm here to tell you, as a child of God, amen, some of you are looking at me funny, scratching your head, but I'm just going to preach this like I feel it. Amen, you need to get to the place where you're not waiting on something, where you're not waiting on someone. When you say, Jesus, this situation that I've been facing for years, I'm just going to get a hold of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the the enemy, amen, the enemy's objective is to try to dissuade us and try to convince us, amen, this is not for you. Even now, as I'm preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the enemy is whispering in your ear, saying, not for you, this is for somebody else. Amen. But if you've got a need, I'm preaching to you right now. I'm preaching in an apostolic Pentecostal church where the Holy Ghost comes down and fills our hearts and our minds. Amen. And he has no limit. Amen. We can believe God for a healing in the head. We can believe God for a healing in the heart. Oh, I've got to preach to you today, church. Amen. God wants to go beyond, amen, an emotional healing. Hallelujah. Please, I'm not minimizing or undermining anybody's miracle. I've struggled in my own mind. I've wrestled in my own spirit. I've needed moments of deliverance. I believe it. But listen to what happens to those who get beyond all of the opposition, all of the that, and they have made up on their mind, I'm just going to touch Jesus. Here's what happens. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 56, whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. Where do you think they learned this one from? Little old lady with the issue of blood. They said, oh, I heard this little trick works. Hey, some traditions are not bad. Amen. Some of our Pentecostal traditions are not bad. Some are, but some are not. These folks, you can leave that on the wall. I'm going to refer to it a few more times. I'm not done. These folks, I don't know if they had issues of blood. I don't know. They had, the Bible says, whithersoever he entered. This obviously happened in more than one place. Villages, plural. Cities, plural. Or country. They laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. Now listen, look at this last phrase. As many as touched him were made whole. Anybody know what that word whole means? This is more than just a healing. This is more than... I'm telling you, God likes this kind of attitude. When they're not saying, oh, preacher, come pray for me. Oh, preacher, if you just come by the hospital. And I believe a minister's job is to serve. And God forbid if I ever fail in that capacity. I'm not shirking that responsibility in any of these words that I'm saying here. But I'm just telling you that God likes this mentality that says, if I can just crawl out onto the sidewalk where Jesus is walking, and if I can, in the moment, in that split moment when he comes breezing by, I can just, oh. Brother Nelson, it doesn't require hours upon hours. It doesn't require some super spiritual encounter. It's just a moment. The God in flesh, the Almighty. If it's really him, all I've got to do is just touch him. I don't see any questions in this passage. I don't see any ambiguity. It's like a law. It's just happening. And they besought him. They sought Jesus out as he was going from this village to this village, as he was moving from this city to this city. Jesus, I'm not trying to interrupt your schedule. I've just got to touch you. Amen. Church, I'm here to tell you, on a Sunday morning, when Jesus comes sweeping by in the precious way that he did just a few moments ago, if you come into this place with the knowledge that I have a need, amen, I'm not going to go home, amen, and try to solve this problem, amen, but Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Let me reach out. That's why I asked the question when I began just a few moments ago. When's the last time did you really touch Jesus? I mean, really touched him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got more here. I don't want to get sidetracked. Let me try to wrap this up. I think we see far too miracles in 2026 than what would represent the glory of God appropriately. I really do. I think God desires in these last days to show his power in this generation. It has nothing to do with a human. What we read just a few moments ago, even Jesus, this lady who had a need, she got a hold of Jesus and immediately, it was just her faith, Sister Lydia. That's all she needed. When she got a hold of Jesus, it was just her faith. Hallelujah. Do you really believe that God's able? Do you believe that God has the power to meet your need? I'm telling you, he's got so much. I remember, there's so many times where I, as a young man, entered into a place where, we were talking about this just the other day, Brother Nelson, Brother Toby, and a few others were talking about this. And at Heritage Youth Conference, I've never been in a service where the glory was so powerful, so real, that it became visible to me until when I was at Heritage. And then they were a mark, and they've experienced similar situations. I'm sure some of you have experienced situations like that. But we're sitting in an apostolic church right now. Why is it that we have to have a certain man holding the microphone? Why is it that we have to have a certain song being played? Is it Jesus or not? Is Jesus passing by or not? Do you feel his presence right now? I'm not trying to appeal to your emotion. I want you to recognize that God's power is here. It's God. God's miraculous touch is here. Sister Tori, you can come up here and play something. This is the thing that is going to separate us from the charismatic church just down the road, is if we're willing to get beyond just being present with Jesus. Give me a good Bible study preacher. Let me hear a good lesson. Let me understand it. All of that's necessary. I was raised with the same pastor that you've had in your respective years under here. I believe it. I love the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us that His Spirit could dwell within us, that He would meet with us, that we could experience His glory and His power. And if we don't have that, then we are not living in accordance with His Word. I'm not saying that you're a fake. I'm not saying we're a fake. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's more to this than just being present, being in a service. If you're willing, it's got to be more than Bishop, and it's got to be more than Jared. It's got to be more than Brother Nelson or Brother Larson or whomever is leading and singing, all the musicians and singers, and the congregation, those of you who've tapped in moments. It's got to be more than just, you know, the thing that happened in that particular service that I was blessed to be able to witness that experience was every other young person except me, because I was looking around, was speaking in tongues. It seemed to me like that. For sure, the vast majority. What I'm saying is that they were all in one mind and one accord. They all had the same objective. If we want to see that kind of service, it's not about the blue haze. It's not about the, that's not what I'm trying to. It's that life-changing power. If we can achieve that, if we can receive, if the glory of God can come in this place, I'm telling you, they can't sit on this pew without receiving the Holy Ghost for any long period of time. They'll either get uncomfortable and leave, or the Spirit of God will fill their soul. I wonder, is that what you want? Is that what you want to see? You want to see God pour His Spirit out in, on every heart and every mind? Do you know that song, Gotta Get to Jesus? If you don't know it, you don't have to play it. When I was younger, Bishop spent a long time, probably 5 or 6 years, he emphasized the idea of being desperate before God. And in those types of services, I'm telling you, Sister Lisa, the glory of God came in such spectacular ways. Because it wasn't just Bishop, but the congregation, the church, those who were here at the time, we unified and we became truly desperate for the things of God. I understand life has a way of drawing our attention. I was listening to Brother Burgess preach just a couple of nights ago, and he was talking about how the church has become a function of consumerism, where when we want to get spiritual, we come to church. We want to feel God, we come to church. We want to touch Him, we come to church. And that's what I've been preaching this morning. That's what I want to see. So please, I'm not undermining my own message here. But let me tell you, if you take this mentality home with you, and if you can take this into the privacy of your home and say, Lord, I'm not just waiting until church on Tuesday night to touch. I'm going to do it in my own prayer closet, in my own living room, my back porch, wherever, under the bed. I'm just going to touch Jesus. I'm telling you, it's going to change this church. It will transform the services. We're not going to come here and wonder what's going to happen. We're going to come here with a knowledge that Jesus is getting ready to step into this sanctuary. And if anybody has any kind of need, Jesus is already here. I feel him right now. If you've got a need, I want to ask you to come to this front. I want to ask you to get a hold of Jesus. I'm going to ask you, amen, to get a hold of his garment right now. Amen. Believe that Jesus is able. Let him prove himself to you today. These altars are open.